Father God, I thank you for this glorious day and for the services that have taken place already this morning. It's already been said how wonderful it was just to give you praise and thank you for your Son Jesus who died for our sins, Lord, and in this glorious day was resurrected to sit at your right hand. And we thank you for that. Thank you for what he's done for us, and thank you for the news we've heard tonight already about people, Lord, coming to you and giving their lives to you. It's a wonderful news. Thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. I ask you to be with me tonight in this talk and to bless it and to make it current to the day, Lord God, that we would understand what is being said. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, that was a clip from Dallas. As a child, I used to sit and watch it with my mum. And it's funny when you're doing your talks how things from the past, like that must be 30 years ago, or more than that, who shot J.R. Ewing was a big, big thing on that soap. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. I'm going to read, first of all, from Luke chapter 23, from verse 55 through to 24, verse 11. I have it in good authority that Rachel told me that my reading was good tonight. And so that's good. High praise. And the woman who had come with him from Galilee followed after. And they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils. And they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Now in the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices with which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them shining in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember, he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. I have it in good authority from Taddy that one of the most common phrases used in prison is the same one used by Bart Simpson in a program that Taddy must watch because I've never watched The Simpsons. I didn't do it. Apparently Marge, or one of the characters, says, I didn't do it. Nobody see me do it. You can't prove I didn't do it. And many prisoners, even those caught red-handed doing the very crime that they've committed and they go to prison for, love to tell each other that they are in fact innocent and that they didn't do anything at all. In fact, Taddy said to me, there's more innocent men inside prison than there are outside of prison. This week, like I showed you the clip, I returned to my childhood memories once more. It's like going through therapy when you talk. You always go back through your childhood and you're able to use the things that you once did or saw. The clip that I showed was from the clip about who shot J.R. Ewing. It was the highlight of that show. And there's a whole drama came from it. It was a cliffhanger and a real mystery in who done it. It was a long period of time for that particular part to be played out. And when it was being played out, there was international odds being taken from bookies on who were the certain characters who had done it, who committed the crime. The favourite was Sue Ellen, who was the person you seen coming up in the car towards JR, and he started to panic in the wheelchair, thinking she was coming to finally do him in. Sue Ellen was given odds of 25-1. Then there was Sue Ellen's sister and her husband's mistress, Kirsten, who you seen there in the clip. And her odds were really high. She was like 1-4 or something like that. And of course, she was the one that tried to frame Sue Ellen. She set it all up, took her gun, shot JR, put the gun back while she was drunk and didn't realise. And then she was going to get framed for the murder. Of course, she was claiming that she didn't do the murder. She had nothing to do with the murder. She wasn't even there. Claiming her innocence, if you watch the programme. So Ellen figured it all out and realized that Kirsten was the one who'd committed the crime. Of course, there was a twist at the end. Even when she was caught and found out, she had a little twist that she was pregnant and she wasn't going to go to jail. Sometimes when you've committed a crime that you're deserving of jail for it, you can still find a way of getting out of jail, of getting out of doing the time. Sometimes it takes a bit of figuring out, investigation work, to find out who actually committed a crime or did the wrong. Many people are often on the hook for a crime. Many named publicly for involvement in the crime. Very few are often convicted. There is, now that was for the oldies, the Dallas was for the oldies. To make it a wee bit more current before we go forward here, there is a song in the charts at the minute by a man called the Rag and Bone Man. By the way, he got his name because he liked a certain show on TV. I can't remember what it's called. I skipped my mind. But the Rag and Bone Man. And the song that he's playing at the minute is... What? That's it, Steptoe and Son. That's it. This guy grew up loving Steptoe and Son. And he called himself the Rag and Bone Man. And the song that's really current at the minute in the charts is called Don't Put the Blame on Me. And I've been singing it all week. The song has the lyrics, I'm only human after all, don't put the blame on me. The line is one that is very current to the night's talk, and in particular when looking at the death and the crucifixion of Jesus, as we're going to see. The question is, who killed JC? When it comes to the death of Jesus, the Son of God, no one seems to want to take any responsibility. Pointing the finger or the blame game is something we all try to do, and often try to avoid detection. The Jewish leaders of the day would have said, we didn't do it. We only requested that blasphemer and charlatan who claimed to be equal with God would be rightfully executed. So they're clear of committing any crime. Pontius Pilate would probably say, those Jews were trying to accuse me of accepting another king other than Caesar. And Caesar would have had me killed for this. I washed my hands of the whole affair. So it's those Jews who are really responsible, passing on the blame. He also said that he found no fault with Jesus on two occasions, which I thought was quite commendable for him recognizing that. But is he not guilty of the crime? The disciples of Jesus, the closest group of people that would be with him, were they responsible for his death? After all, they were his closest friends and closest followers. Even one of them, Judas, betrayed him, as you know, for 30 pieces of silver. Another denied him, and even knowing him or having anything to do with him, you know, that was Peter. And all of them abandoned him on the night of the crucifixion. And then we have the Roman soldiers who crucified Jesus, who put him onto the cross, nailed him to the cross. They would just say, look, we're just carrying out the orders. Most onlookers at the place of the crucifixion would have said, this man is a criminal and he deserves what he gets. They certainly wouldn't accept any responsibility, seeing it just as another Roman execution. After Jesus had died, the two men, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, who took his body from the cross, lovingly wrapped it up in linen and laid the corpse in the tomb. They wouldn't accept any responsibility. In fact, they would argue that they were showing love and respect for Jesus by laying him in the tomb in a place to rest. Even the women in the tomb went with their loving intention to anoint the body of Jesus with the spices. They too would deny any responsibility for the death of him whom they had loved. When it comes to the death of Jesus, the Son of God, no one seems to want to accept any responsibility. This morning, we heard Toddy in the first of our two Sunday resurrection services, and they saw the children carrying the cross into the hall and placing it here, each child identifying with Jesus, what he has done for them, and that they are thankful for it. Every child attaching their name to the cross, suggesting as little children they accept Jesus and that they love him. And it's wonderful, wonderful thing to have experienced and to know. And I know personally my two children defend Jesus in the playground. They often argue with people who talk about Muhammad and Hindus, and Hannah is wild for standing up and for what she believes in. And that's a real credit to our Sunday school. But would anybody dare suggest that children were responsible for the death of Jesus, an innocent child? When it comes to the death of Jesus, the Son of God, many today would say, like the song by the Rag and Bone Man, "Don't put the blame on me." No one wants to accept any kind of responsibility for the death of Jesus. Rachel had a t-shirt on tonight that made me laugh when I was going through this again. And I was looking, and Rachel just makes you laugh so much. So funny. And I looked at her and she took her jumper off and she had a t-shirt on and said, "The unicorn made me do it." And I just laughed. People don't want to expect, but take responsibility for anything, especially when it comes to the death of Jesus. But there is good news. Jesus, the Son of God, was crucified, died, laid in the tomb, but on the third day, he rose again to life. And he came into this world knowing he would die the cruel death of crucifixion. He knew what lay ahead of him. And still he came to do this because he loved us and he wanted to rescue us from sin and death and hell. Every person born into this world, every man, every woman and child is born in sin. And because of sin, which is rebellion against God, all are therefore under the curse of sin, which leads to death. As Rachel, and I have to keep repeating Rachel, at dinner today, at our Easter dinner, our Resurrection Sunday dinner today, she was talking, and she and someone commented on Jesus' death, and how could everybody believe it? And she said, "Well, if Jesus didn't die, we may as well not be having this dinner." And she was in Sunday school and didn't hear Taddy saying that. And I just thought, that's incredible to hear that. God's word says this, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death." If you think you're not born into sin, or have not sinned, and therefore not under the curse of sin, what are you saying is that you're never going to die? Which you know is untrue, because every one of us is going to have a death. Jesus, the Son of God, came into the world and was without sin. He is the only person that ever came into this world without sin. He came to die in our place and to pay the price for our sin. So those who believe in him could be saved to know God as their Father and to be saved from death and hell. Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me has everlasting life." To go back to my original point, when it comes to the death of Jesus, the Son of God, everyone says, "I didn't do it. You didn't see me do it. I had nothing to do with it. Don't put the blame on me." When you want to consider if you're to blame or not, or if you did or didn't do it, the best person to ask is, who is responsible for the death of Jesus, is the Son of God himself. And he would say, "I believe no one is innocent." Jesus not only tells us the truth, but he is the truth. And he tells, and he would tell every person born into this world, that when it comes to his death, no one is innocent. Not the Jewish leaders, not Pontius Pilate, not his disciples, not the Roman soldiers, not the onlookers, not Joseph of Arimathea or Nicodemus, not the women who came to the tomb. Not one of you in this place tonight is innocent of the death of Jesus. There's not a person born into this world who isn't responsible for the death of Jesus. And I'll tell you why this is. In Isaiah 53, very well known verses, says this, Isaiah 53, verse 4, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. God's word is clear. Jesus was wounded and bruised and died for our sins and our iniquities. Jesus died because of our sin, and Jesus died for our sin. Remember, every person who is born into this world is a sinner. And therefore, because of sin, Jesus came and died. The logical conclusion is simple. If Jesus died for the sin of the whole world, including mine and yours, then we are all responsible for his death. If I look again at the beginning of my talk, I started with the clip from Dallas. Who shot JR? The intrigue of millions of viewers around the world trying to work out who killed him and who was guilty. Who shot JR today could easily read, who killed JC? How many people would be interested in this? How many people would point the finger at you and accuse you of killing Jesus? No one can justifiably say, I didn't do it. Nobody saw me do it. There's no way you can prove anything. God holds everyone responsible for the death of Jesus. No one is innocent. However, because God the Father loved us, because he sent Jesus to die in our place, he now declares this, I will forgive anyone who believes in my Son and who turns from their sin and comes to me seeking forgiveness. Therefore, today in Resurrection Sunday, it is so important because it tells us that Jesus who came to save us is risen from the dead, and all who believe in him, even though they will one day die, they too shall be raised to life and will live forever with the Lord. But this is a promise only for those who acknowledge they are not innocent, but admit they are sinners for whom Jesus has died. Because of our sin, no one is innocent of the death of Jesus. But there is forgiveness with God for everyone who will put their trust in him. When it comes to the death of Jesus, no one can say, I didn't do it. No one can say, don't put the blame on me. All are guilty. No one is innocent. It's amazing tonight to know that Derek came and has put his trust in Jesus, and he now is a follower of Jesus. He recognized the sin in his life. He recognized that he isn't innocent, and he recognized that there is forgiveness if he puts his faith and his trust into Jesus. It's a great summary for way to end the talk, which gives great hope to many who will put their trust in Jesus and have eternal life. Even though they die, they still will have eternal life. You know, the clip from J.R. Ewing's Who Shot J.R. was very good because the whole thing unfolded to show a web of lies and intrigue and manipulation at the end, and no one wants to be blamed. You know, so many lies are portrayed and put out there about the death of Jesus. So many people are say different things and don't believe for different reasons. So many webs of deception are woven to try and halt people from coming to know Jesus. But when you know the pure the facts and the truth, and you see what is said, you can't but believe what Jesus has done for us and the great price that he paid for us. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for all that has been done for us, for all the truths that have been revealed to us, for every person sitting here tonight that's recognized that they were guilty of the death of Jesus and have recognized that in Jesus there is forgiveness for those who put their trust in him and believe in him and have faith in him. I thank you, Lord, for this glorious day, Resurrection Sunday. Thank you, Lord, that we heard twice the day to remember this and to give glory to your name and thanking your Son for what he had done for us. We just thank you today, Lord, that this is a day that we can leave here knowing that even though we were guilty of this, the death of Jesus, that today we are now made innocent in your blood because of what you've done for us, because we put our trust in you. And I ask you, Lord God, please, to bless us as we leave here and to give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.